Hello and welcome to the First Right podcast, your weekly dose of conservative news brought to you by Restoration of America. I'm your host, Hayden Ludwig, Research Director for Restoration News. Joining us today is Scott Walter, president of the Capital Research Center in Washington, D.C., and a dear friend. Recently, Scott was a key witness before Congress on the threat of Zuckbucks in the 2024 election, which you might remember from the 2020 election when billionaire mega donor Mark Zuckerberg tried to privatize the election with $420 million, money which we were told was meant to help voters cast a ballot. The reality, as you'll soon hear, was far more malicious. Scott, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you, Hayden.
Now, as mentioned, you were one of the key witnesses at a recent House committee hearing on the threat of private funding to U.S. elections. We called this particular assault on American democracy Zuckbucks, named, of course, for Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg. But what exactly are Zuckbucks and how did they affect the 2020 election?
I think the best way to understand Zuckbucks is simply as the private funding of government election offices. The most famous part of that in 2020, which was sort of the first time it ever came on the scene, was the hundreds of millions of dollars that Mark Zuckerberg and his wife gave from their donor advised funds. But it's important to understand that they were not actually the only private funders in that election, as we learned a year later. Arabella Advisors network of so-called dark money nonprofits also put in $25 million. And they made a big difference in the 2020 elections because the money went very disproportionately in the battleground states to Democrat vote-rich jurisdictions. So essentially, they put voter turnout on steroids in the battleground states, precisely where the Democratic Party needed more votes to win.
Okay, so paying for government operations with private money sounds illegal. I don't know anybody who thinks that that's a normal thing for Americans to do, but is it actually illegal?
Well, this is the thing. It was such a bizarre new idea that it wasn't really illegal in most any state because nobody ever tried to do it before. Nobody dreamt of it happening before. So the legality of local and state government election offices receiving private funding had never really arisen and it hadn't been made illegal. Now, I want to be very careful to say there is another aspect of the legality of this, and that is, as I said, the money came from donor advised funds that the Zuckerbergs had mostly, and also from a Arabella Advisors charity. And it went from those sources to two 501c3 charities, the Center for Tech and Civic Life, the Center for Election Innovation and Research. It went to them, and then they spread it out across thousands of jurisdictions and local and state election offices. And one of the regulations says that they are not to be involved in elections registration or education or get out the vote work unless they're doing it in a nonpartisan fashion. And I think it is highly debatable or even just laughable to claim that this work was done, in fact, in a nonpartisan way, because as I say, the overwhelming disproportion of the money in the battleground states went to Democratic vote-rich enclaves. Which was mainly big cities and some of their adjoining suburbs. And arguably that is not legal for a charity to do, though it was legal for the election offices to receive the money.
Now, one of the groups you just mentioned, the Center for Tech and Civic Life, CTCL. Now, of course, this is the organization that received the brunt of the Zuckbucks, $350 million. Let's talk a little bit about CTCL here. So as you mentioned, this is a 501c3 charity, same kind of tax code as your local church, for instance, right? But what was the justification for spreading these Zuckbucks nationwide during the COVID-19 pandemic?
Well, of course, I give lefties credit. They always have great messaging, maybe totally false, but it always sounds great. So there was a big stress that this was, you know, for personal protective equipment. I mean, you know, masks and plexiglass and whatnot. That was what you wanted to say. And in fact, in one of the many jurisdictions where I've testified on this, the very first one I testified in December of 2020 in Georgia, when folks were trying to understand what had happened there. And there was a nasty, angry representative in the, senator, who's a Democrat, and said, isn't this just for masks and personal protective equipment and whatnot? And of course, at the time, nobody had had a chance, you know, a few weeks after the election, there were no good studies of this. So I had to say, they would like you to think that, but I'm very skeptical. Well, she turned out to be quite wrong. And if you don't believe me, go to National Public Radio, not known for right-wing conspiracy mongering. They did a thorough study of about a half dozen jurisdictions, and they found what every other study that's ever been done like this has found. The percentage of money going for masks and plexiglass and like is somewhere in the single digits. So a tiny little fraction of the money. But well, that was course, the way, that helped the way it was sold. Like, you know, oh my gosh, we have a crisis with COVID, so we have to do this. Now,
right.
We know that Arabella.
And of course,
advisors,
this is money that was. Of course, this was money that was given to help people cast a ballot because of COVID-19. They supposedly couldn't vote in person, so we need all these absentee ballots. We need all of this personal protective equipment for the poll workers so that they don't get sick and die from this. But what you're saying is, in reality, only a fraction of this $350 million, $420 million actually did any of that. The rest of this was what? Goosing Democrat turnout or?
Yes, it's all sorts of things for goosing Democrat turnout. So it was, well, you need to buy, you need to have lots of drop boxes. By the way, whether or not that actually is legal in your state, there's a sort of extreme case on that was Wisconsin. The state law was crystal clear that you couldn't have an unmanned drop box to collect ballots. And yet that did happen in Wisconsin. And 2 or 3 years later, finally, the Wisconsin court system said, yeah, the statute's really obvious. Of course you can't do that. But that was years too late.
Yeah, exactly. So going back to the House hearing from the other week, I watched that whole hearing. And the thing that stood out to me is that the Democratic committee members seemed like this was the first time they'd ever heard of Zuckbucks. I mean, they weren't even willing to really defend Zuckbucks, which one would think that was part of their job, perhaps. In fact, they seemed surprised that Mark Zuckerberg, this well-known Democratic mega donor, would use a nonprofit, a charity, you called it, to do political work if he was trying to help Democrats win the 2020 election. And yet both Capital Research Center and Restoration News have spilled gallons of ink exposing this left-wing secret weapon, which is using 501c3 groups to do this stuff. Tell us more about that.
Yes, the thing to understand about Zuckbucks is that it comes out of a decades-long tradition, you could say, or operation on the left to use both C3 funding, so from private foundations and donor-advised funds, to fund get-out-the-vote work, and then the execution of that work is done through 501c3 charities. Public charities is the legal term for these groups. And this has been going on since at least the beginning of the 21st century. At capitalresearch.org, you can look up a memo that was sent in January of 2011 to George Soros and the rest of the board of his main foundation, describing how critical this work needs to be done, how critical it is to do this work so that they can win the 2012 presidential election. That was to reelect Obama. And it's very clear from the memo that they have been doing this for many years. Everybody is used to it. They have all kinds of other left-wing funders, the Bauman Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Wellspring philanthropy folks, the Democracy Alliance cabal of donors. All these folks have been doing this clearly for years. And then there's another great source on that also shows you how far back this goes. In 2012, a book came out that's very much worth reading to understand this whole world called The Victory Lab, The Secret Science of Winning Campaigns. It's written by a liberal journalist. People like the Washington Post said, the Washington Post called it indispensable, which is true. It's the best history that's ever been written on all of this stuff. And it too explains how for years the left has been doing experiments to figure out exactly the best way to fine tune this machinery, and that places like the Carnegie Corporation, which is a major lefty foundation, has been funding it, and groups like the Voter Participation Center have been carrying it out. And all of those, I mean, the book is crystal clear by this liberal reporter. They are using these charities and foundations as an end run to all of the laws that say that 501c3 charities and foundations can't do electoral work. So there's just no doubt whatsoever this has been going on forever. That what made Zuckbucks different is the old funding was from foundations to charities who then would stir up whatever constituencies they were focused on. Whereas with Zuckbucks, they supercharged it, not only with a lot more money. That Soros memo shows that it was probably around neighborhood of $100 million a cycle going into this, into charities, whereas Zuckbucks was more than quadruple that amount of money. And the other way it was supercharged is instead of the money going to charities who then would try to register and get out the vote, instead in 2020, it went directly into election or government election offices, selected government election offices to heighten the turnout.
I want that to be clear to listeners that what happened in 2020 with Zuckbucks, you know, a private donor in a private organization routing money to government operations to fund their counting absentee ballots, pay for drop boxes, that sort of thing. That was novel, but it really is just, as you say, the latest iteration in how the left has abused our not-for-profit organizations. Again, the kind of organization that your local church is in the same kind of IRS category as Salvation Army or Goodwill, similar kinds of organizations. The left has been using these organizations, weaponizing these organizations for over a decade to do political work. So is it fair to say, really, the way politics works in D.C. is not the two political parties nearly so much as it is the billions of dollars and legion of professional activists operating in this bubble around Congress? Is that fair to say?
I think that's absolutely fair to say. In fact, something that I say all the time is you have to understand that the nonprofit tail wags the Democratic Party dog. you do not have, you know, Republicans, by and large, have not even recognized that this massive charitable effort has been going on, and they definitely haven't done it. The two, you know, I'm not endorsing these folks particularly, but obviously, you know, everybody knows the biggest the biggest registration efforts and nonprofit efforts on the conservative side of the ledger would be, you know, Karl Rove and groups that he started that have done massive amounts of registration. None of those were charities. None of those used private foundation monies. And then the Koch, the Charles and David Koch empire obviously has spent great amounts of money in the nonprofit sector, but they have not registered voters or gotten to the polls using C3 monies or C3 groups. And again, I can tell because I carefully investigated this, not only have they not used C3 money and C3 groups for that, they actually had no idea that the left was doing this in this gigantic way.
Wow.
Until Capital Research started exposing it. So, you know, we were just clueless. Now, some of the members of Congress of both parties in the hearing where I was testifying that you referenced from a few weeks ago, they were not aware either. The ranking member scoffed, I think quite sincerely, ignorantly but sincerely, scoffed at the idea that, you know, if Zuckerberg was trying to help Democrats, he would just donate to their campaigns. He wouldn't do this kind
Imagine
of registration
that.
Work.
Yeah, but, exactly.
One more great bit of evidence on the value of this is David Plouffe, who was, of course, one of the top strategists who got Obama elected, He was working for Mr. Zuckerberg, literally on his payroll, as the 2020 election is, well, as 2020 is getting underway and the election plans are being made, he writes a book on how to defeat Trump, like A Citizen's Guide to Defeating Donald Trump, I think was the title. And it has an entire chapter on registration that not only says how utterly critical this is, but brags about how earlier registration efforts did things like win Florida's electoral college votes for Barack Obama. And he's crystal clear. We did a massive registration. This is incredibly powerful. This is did things like getting us Florida, which was our Democrats did not typically get Florida. Obama was only the third Democrat president candidate ever to get Florida twice in elections. So the idea that this does not matter, this is not a powerful tool for winning Democrat elections, if you think that, you're just an ignoramus, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's right. Well, and of course, if CTCL Zuckbucks was all about juicing Democratic turnout, well, to turn out Democratic voters, they need to be registered in the first place. This is why you call it, we call it too, you know, the left's secret weapon, when the fact is that even, you know, our senior Republican congressmen aren't aware of how the left has weaponized these charitable groups for partisan gain. You know, you can tell how deep-seated and what a stealth campaign this has been, and it's been extremely effective. Staying on CTCL for a minute, you mentioned in your testimony that Zuckbucks didn't really die or go away after 2020, so much as evolve. We call it Zuckbucks 2.0, of course. Can you share us more on that and what threat that might be heading into the 2024 election, to election integrity?
Absolutely. So as you said, the Center for Tech and Civic Life got most of the Zuckbucks, $25 million from Arabella's groups and around $350 million from Zuckerberg. Not that long after the 2020 election, I'd like to say in part because of the kind of heat that you and we have brought on this, Zuckerberg throws up his hands and says, never going to do this again. I'm not going to be doing that kind of funding. And but the very same day there were headlines announcing that he wouldn't do it again, there were also headlines saying that the Center for Tech and Civic Life was launching an $80 million project to be known as the Alliance for Election Excellence. And again, I give the lefties A pluses on messaging. Who could be opposed to election excellence? Now, it might surprise people who are not utterly ignorant of election excellence that one of the first centers of election excellence involved in this new alliance was Clark County, Nevada, where Vegas is, not a jurisdiction known for squeaky clean and excellent elections. But then some of the people mixed up in Center for Tech and Civic Life come from Cook County, Illinois' election offices, also not previously recognized for election excellence, unless you mean by that ensuring the victory of one particular political party.
Yes, fixed election outcomes, yes.
So now we have this Alliance for Election Excellence. Now, I'm also proud to say that we now are up to 27 states have restricted or banned private funding of elections like Zuckbucks was. But another thing I always give the left credit for, they're the Freddy Krueger of politics. It doesn't matter if the majority of states in the country ban this because it's an outrage to the proper functioning of fair and free elections. They're not going to give up. They are going to find ways around that. So the Alliance for Election Excellence, in a few places, especially where there's not already a law, where they haven't passed a law against it, they may give out money the way the Zuckbucks scam worked in 2020. So the way that the Center for Tech and Civic Life tries to seduce a local election office that may now have a state law forbidding them from just taking a check from the center, they instead come to the registrar and they say, you're wonderful and we deeply appreciate you and we're naming you a center of election excellence and here's a cute little logo thingy that you can stick on your website and your letterhead so everybody knows how excellent and wonderful you are. And of course, the bureaucrat typically would be, oh, gosh, that's swell. Nobody has appreciated me before. Thank you. That's great. And then the alliance says, oh, by the way, you know, now that you're a member of the alliance, that means that you owe us registration fees and what such things. And so then, of course, the bureaucrats, oh, whoa, I don't have any budget for that, blah, blah. And the alliance does a second bait and switch. And they say, oh, don't worry. We'll give you scholarships and credits to cover that. So you actually don't have to give us money. Instead, we're going to give you, not money, because that might be illegal under your state law. Instead, we're going to give you in-kind assistance. And what that means typically is you now have all these credits and you can only spend them with us and our partners. And the partners are two Arabella pop-up groups and other fine left-wing institutions like that. And they're going to come in and help you improve the operations of your election office according to our lights. In fact, we're even going to come up with an improvement plan for your whole operation. And, you know, I'm sure as what you're getting here as well is you should be doing these things that will help demographics that are heavily Democratic and, you know, and you maybe expand the use of drop boxes and on,
right,
on and on, all sorts of things that don't strengthen election excellence or election integrity, but do up the odds of, again, electing the preferred political party of the partisans who run Center for Tech and Civic Life.
And this is what's so stunning about it, folks. I mean, not only half the states, more than half the states, 27, have banned or severely restricted Zuckbucks, but that leaves states like Wisconsin, Michigan, extremely important for any election, no matter the party, right? Heading into the 2024 election, we know this, where, you know, the Democratic governor, Tony Evers, vetoed a Zuckbucks ban brought to him by the Republican legislature, not once, twice, two times. That's how much the left is trying to preserve this. But even in states like Virginia, where you and I both live, where Democrats joined Republicans in banning Zuckbucks, this Zuckbucks 2.0 scheme, this Alliance for Election Excellence, what a misnomer, is designed to circumvent, to thwart these bans with these fake scholarships. It's stunning. So the battle of these on these things is far from over. It's going to be a big problem for years to come. It's why the election integrity battles we're engaged in are so difficult. Hey, Scott, for our last question, I want to change gears here and talk about your organization, Capital Research Center. Some people listening might know I was privileged to work there for 6 years. It's an incredible organization. Can you tell us more about what you guys are working on?
Sure. And don't let me fail to thank you for all those 6 years, which included lots of great work on Zuckbucks as well when we first started all our Zuckbuck works. You also get credit for being the fellow who uncovered Arabella Advisors and its giant network. So I'm pleased to say that we're about to publish an entire book on the Arabella Network, much of which is actually effectively your intellectual property. prepared while working for us. So we claim it. But it wouldn't, you know, it was because of you that we have it. And we also, I would highly recommend one of your colleagues, Parker Thayer's research that came out this past 6 months about the voter registration project, which is yet another, that was the old style. That was $120 million in the leading into the 2020 election that went from foundations and donor advised funds into charities, again, to register the right demographics in the right battleground states to help win the election. So what the left was able to do in 2020, when you add all these things up, it's simply staggering the amount of money and effort that went into it. So that was one of our most recent reports. I highly recommend that. Also, all the groups that we've mentioned, because I know we rattle off all these groups and names and it's your eyes glaze over. InfluenceWatch.org is a terrific website that Capital Research runs that has all these groups and massive amounts of information documented with them for your viewers. And I promise you, the only thing I warn you is if you go to InfluenceWatch, you may find yourself 5 hours later deep down a lot of rabbit holes, but that's because it's such a wonderful site with all this research and very user-friendly and absolutely documented to a T form.
And the Arabella book, where can folks find it? And when does that come out?
The publication date is April 9. And I'm officially the author, even though it's very much a group effort. So if you look up Scott Walter Arabella on Amazon, you can pre-order your copy and really understand the colossus, the multi-billion dollar colossus that is Arabella Advisors.
That's great. CapitalResearch.org, folks, and InfluenceWatch.org. Scott Walter, thank you so much for joining the show. It's been a real pleasure.
Great to be with you, Aidan. Good luck.
And thank you, folks, for tuning in and supporting conservative voices working to expose the truth about the rot spreading throughout this once great country. It's only by working together and praying together that we can restore the United States of America to greatness under our sovereign and almighty God. Join us next week as the battle rages on and visit our website, restoration-news.com.
First Right, a new kind of news summary without the liberal slant. Every morning, in your inbox, always free. Subscribe by texting First Right to 30161. That's First Right, all caps, one word, to 30161.